All right. Last Sunday, we said that in Scripture, there are four different occasions where we are told that the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. And we looked at those four times, and the point is that if that's the case, we need to know what faith is. If I'm to live by faith, then I got to know what faith is. Now notice he said live by faith. So I got to know how to exhibit faith in my life as a Christian, as I go through this journey here. Now we said last week that we put our faith every day in something. We have faith in our cars when we get them and take off. We have faith in elevators when we get on them. We have faith when we go into a restaurant and we eat. We have faith in people. We have faith in our doctors. We have faith in our pharmacists. We have faith in the one who's piloting an airplane that we might get in. We have faith in law enforcement. So there are people that we have faith in. But and it's not a blind faith. It's not really a blind faith, even though we don't stop and analyze it. You know, we don't sit going on an elevator. We don't stop and start looking at the capacity and all of that. We just get in. Every time you get in the car, you don't take and raise the hood and check everything out before you get in it. You just hop in it, and what? You exhibit faith that it's going to make it to where you're going. Now, in my case, I had to do that because it's eating oil like crazy. So I had to check it every time. But we don't do that, do we? I mean, we just get in the car and we go. When I go to a restaurant, I don't go back in the kitchen and start interviewing the cooks and everything and seeing how things are looking back there. And I very seldom look at what the rating is. You know, if it's above 80, I'll eat it. But I don't normally, you know, I don't do that. So I'm sitting down in full faith that I'm going to get a meal that's not going to have something extra in it. Okay? This is all faith. I have faith that when I go in to see a doctor that he's going to tell me what I need to do. When I go pick up a prescription at the pharmacist, I got faith that they gave me the right one. Now, it might say one thing on the label, and then I open it up and I say, well, they're a different color than the last one. You know, these things used to be white and they're red. Now I'm beginning to wonder. But we do. And like I said, it's not a blind faith because we act according to our expectations. We expect my car to work. You expect your car to work. You don't even think about it until you get in and it breaks down halfway your trip. We expect the food to be okay when I'm paying the price I'm having to pay today for food. I'm expecting that dish of food is going to be okay, going to be good. I'm expecting that. I'm expecting when I get on the elevator, we're not going to get about halfway on the floor and it goes chakoop and stops. I'm expecting it to get me to the next floor or wherever I'm going. I expect that pharmacist to give me what I'm supposed to have in the right dosage that I'm supposed to have. So these, we just live by our human, we expect it. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Our expectation may not be met. The car may break down. You might bite into the food and find some hair in there. There's no doubt. Y'all okay out there? Okay. I mean, who knows? You don't know. You might go to a pharmacy and get it and everything, go home, and you take it that night, and you find out that you got the wrong medication because you start feeling kind of bad. Your expectation won't met. That is not biblical faith. Biblical faith is on a higher level. Even though every one of those things we do every day, and you keep on naming them, we do things by faith. But biblical faith is a different thing. It's on certainly a different level. Now, last time we took Romans 11, verse 1, and we kind of dissected that verse and looked at each word in that verse to find out, and here was the title, what is faith? What is faith? And we came up with this definition when we look at those words. Faith is the support or foundation, hypostasis. It means to hold up, to support, the foundation. That's what substance means, okay? So it says faith is the substance. Faith is the support. It is the foundation that convinces my heart, the believer's heart, that the things that are hoped for are there and will happen. It is the evidence or conviction of things not seen. That's what faith is. Now remember, we said this is a description, not a definition of faith. And then the rest of that chapter, he begins to build on that, and he goes into different ones in the chapter and how they exhibited faith. Now, when we used an illustration last week of a tightrope walker that's going to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And you look at him do it several times. And then he asks for volunteers to get on his shoulder and let him walk across with them. And you observe that four or five do this. They step out, they get on his shoulders, boom, goes on across. He comes back, picks up another. So you have seen him go across. You have heard him say he can go across. You have seen those who trust in him. They have sat on his shoulders. Now he comes and asks you, would you get on my shoulders? Now, you turn him down. Well, you have not exhibited biblical faith. You have exhibited that you believe because you saw him do it. You even witnessed some that exhibited faith in him. But when it comes to you, you backed out. God says, my word is truth. My promises, that which are yet to be seen. And remember in that verse there, those two phrases, when we looked at those two phrases, it meant the things hoped for, the things not seen. It's speaking of God's promises that haven't happened yet. And then we got the entire chapter of Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, and what they did. Now, we have taken the tightrope walk. We've seen them do it. We've seen people do it. And here's the thing. How often do we look at Christians and we see them exhibit tremendous faith in the middle of whatever, and we hear say, or we might say, I wish I had their faith. Because when all of a sudden your faith is called upon to act upon it, you back down. You see what I'm saying? So what have you done? You have not exercised biblical faith. Not according to Hebrews 11:1. So all along you think I got this faith, that's why I'm asking the question, what is faith? It is taking God at his promises and believing it and acting upon what you believe. That's where biblical faith comes in. It's not a leap in the dark. It's based on his facts. It's based on his promises. Now that's why I said this morning in prayer, either you can believe God's word and his promises or not. But I can tell you this, it would depend on how you live your life. And the Bible tells me that the just and the righteous will live by faith. They will live by faith. Now, Romans 4, please. We just read verses 1 to 12 of Romans 4. It's talking about Abraham. Now, verse 12 I want to read again. Well, let's read verse 11 first. He, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. Because at that time, he wasn't a Jew. He was a Canaanite. So he's a Gentile. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. That would bring in, certainly the Gentiles. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Who's he also? Gentile. Now notice verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but notice this, who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So now this morning, I want us to look at this, and this is the message. Our walk of faith. Now last week, we found out what faith is. This morning, we're going to talk about the walk of faith. The walk of faith. When we come to Christ, we come to Him in faith. But from then on, we are on a journey. And we live by faith. Every day of our life, we live by faith. Just like we live by those things we mentioned, all that. We exercise that faith, expectational faith, every day. But we're talking about biblical faith. Every day, the just shall live by faith. So, it's not just that first step. It is the beginning of a journey of faith that we live every day. Abraham was called a pilgrim. Abraham was called a pilgrim. And we are pilgrims. We are pilgrims. Hebrews 11:10 tells us that he was looking for a city with foundations whose builder and maker was God. Now, I want us to follow the steps because of what verse 12 says. Verse 12 says that we all who also walk in the steps of that faith that he had being yet uncircumcised. So, let's look at his faith. Let's look at his faith. There is a well-known pastor in this country today. I'll even tell you his name. I don't mind calling out somebody like that. Andy Stanley. Charles Stanley's son. He said in a book, I think it's entitled Irresistible. He said in that book that Christians need to unhitch themselves from the Old Testament. He said, it's not the Old Testament, it is the obsolete Testament. He said, and Christians need to unhitch themselves from that. The Old Testament, he says, is inspirational, but not applicational. Well, this morning, I'm going to give you both. I hope it'll inspire you, and it certainly could be an application to us. He said the Ten Commandments should be, thou shalt not obey the Ten Commandments. In that book. So that tells you where we're heading in this country. Now I'm going to deal with that later on down the road. But that's one of those that, of the mainstream preachers. Now Charles Stanley wants that. But his son... I don't even know how to, it's crazy. Well, that's why you got a lot of people flocking in there, you see. Now, we're going to look at Abraham. And the first step of Abraham's faith, the very first step of faith, was when God called him. When God called Abraham, he called him while he was in Ur of the Chaldees. God comes to him. And I want us to know two things about this. Number one, it was initiated by God. Abraham was not out there looking for God. He was not out there searching for God. It was initiated by God, and he did not seek him any more than we did. God came to him. In Joshua, Joshua tells us a little bit about Abraham in Joshua 24. And it says in verse 2, Joshua 24, Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, T-E-R-A-H, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Do you see what he said? Abraham was an idol worshiper. He served false gods. He wasn't looking for God, not the true God. He served false God. He's like what Paul says in Romans 1, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that's what Abraham was doing. He was going on his, he was just living day by day worshiping these false idols, these false gods. So Abraham is called by God to follow God, and it's because God initiated it. God came to Abraham and called Abraham. Now look back at Genesis chapter 12 and notice what it says. Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3. And then verse 7. Chapter 12 of Genesis verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Get away from your relatives, your kindred. Get away from your father's house. And go to a land that I will show thee. When you going to show it to me, Lord? When you going to show it to me? And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All families of the earth. Not just Jews. Now he's not a Jew yet. Okay. Verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So here's Abraham. He's called out of idolatry. He's a heathen. He's out there worshiping false gods. He and his family. And all of a sudden, God appears on the scene. And he calls him. And there is no way that Abraham merits that call of God upon his life. He don't. He don't. He has not merited anything. Well, he had to have done something. Well, he did. He did. The first step, God calls him. That leads us to the second thing about this, in this first step, God's call. The first thing is it was initiated by God. The second thing is he obeyed him. Trust and obey. He obeyed God. Now, I don't know about you, that'd be tough. I mean, my life is going good, you know. I'm worshiping idols, nothing wrong with that. You know, I got them out there, and I'm worshiping these gods, and everything's good, and You know, I got my family right here, and every once in a while we have the relatives over, and we have a good fellowship with our relatives, and we do all this, and things are going good. Then all of a sudden God says, come on, get out of there. Leave. Leave your relatives. Leave your family. Leave the land. And I'm going to show you where to go. Now, the script, and I don't know this. I have no idea. The scripture reads like he jumped up and went. I don't know. He might have had some time to think through it, but I think God was continuing to call him. Now, I don't know. All I know is this, he did obey God. He might have done it in that split second. It might have been whoever, whatever. But he obeyed. So God called him, and he obeyed him. And in chapter 11 of Hebrews, that's exactly what it says. By faith, he, Abraham, obeyed. And it was an active obedience because he did what God told him to do. Now, again, think about it. What he has just done. He has left and he's gone. Well, his obedience came after God commanded him. And it was really a command. That word called there is a very strong word. It's like God commanded him. His obedience came after that. Now that is important to understand when we're dealing with an unsaved person. When you deal with an unsaved person, him becoming a Christian is not my work. What that lady say when she was going out to church and Spurgeon had spoke, and she said, she shook his hand and said, I enjoyed the message. You remember me? You saved me years ago. And he said, ma'am, if I saved you, you're in trouble. Man can't save nobody. Man cannot save no one. Not a. God does the saving. God does the saving. It is simply, salvation is simply obedience to God's command. Acts 17:30. The times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Salvation is obedience to that command. Salvation is obedience to that command. The first words of Christ in red, the first thing he mentioned, repent and believe, and that is imperative. That repent and believe, it means command. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very first words he said. So that's the first step, is by faith. And what a step that was for Abraham to pack up and leave. Really? How many young people don't obey God and go to the mission field or go somewhere else because they don't leave home? How many adults do that? They don't leave the comfort of their home. God calls them. God worked in the heart. But they don't leave. How many parents have kept them from leaving? How many parents have... I remember a lady years ago. I went to a college with a Christian college. I took 4 young people to a Christian college. And while we were there, one of the girls came. She said, Pastor called me Lee. I was youth pastor then. She said, I have really prayed about this. And she says, and I really think this is where God wants me to come. And we talked about it even on the way back. And I said, well, what interest would you be in? She wanted to go in nursing. But she wanted to go to a Christian college. And she said, you know, eventually I wouldn't mind going to the mission field as a nurse. And so we had a good talk. Got home. Guess what? Her mother was adamant. You're not going to go. I need you here. Well, as time went on, the girl, she didn't go to the college. She got in trouble, things. And I always go back to that time. Now, she's doing fine today. She's got a lot of health problems. But I can tell you this, her mother probably regrets to this day that she did not let her child follow the call of God because she was selfish. She needed her. She needed her. How sad that is. But how often does that happen? How often does that happen? You don't need to go. You got a good job. You go to mission field, you're not going to make anything there. You got a good job. Why throw that away? You live here at home. We can feed you and everything. Don't worry. You don't want to do that. As one man said, he said, I'd rather starve in the will of God than eat good out of the will of God. How true, true, true that is. Well, Abraham trusted. The second thing that we see about Abraham's faith, his second step, was it came kind of early in the promised land. Okay? He is now where God sent him. Remember, God says, I'll show you the land. And by the way, this, as Andy said, this no application here. No inspiration. It's an obsolete. I'm preaching out of obsolete here. So y'all bear with me, okay? Well, he is now where God has sent him. And he's still a pilgrim. He's still a pilgrim. Go to back over to our Hebrews 11 chapter. And notice what it says there. Verse 9. By faith he sojourned, or pilgrim, in the land of promise, as in a strange country. Now notice what he says there. He sojourned as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he's looking something for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, we sing a hymn once in a while, and Anne, which I guarantee you on Wednesday night she's here, she was going to want to sing this song, Make Me a Stranger. Make me a stranger, that hymn. Make me a stranger on earth, dear Lord. Abraham, it says, was a stranger. And so, do you feel like a stranger in this world? Do you feel like that you're kind of a square trying to fit in a round hole? Do you feel like that it seems like the world is not going the way you want to go? Do you feel like you just don't belong? Well, good. That's the way you ought to feel. Because we're not of this world anymore. We're in a new world. So we ought to feel out of place. Paul says you're in it, but you're not of it. So we have to ask our question, are we like Abraham? He said, I was like a stranger. Well, that's good. Now, what is a pilgrim? Because that's important. Pilgrim. What is a pilgrim? Because we are not a pilgrim in the sense of the biblical. No, we're not a pilgrim. And really, we're not a pilgrim until after the call. Okay? We sing a hymn, A Pilgrim Was I and a Wandering. I'm not going to sing it, I'm going to. In the cold night of sin, I did roam. When Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I am on my way home. Well, that is not completely accurate. Because you're not a pilgrim before salvation. He says, I was a pilgrim and a wanderer. In the cold night of sin, I did roam, but then Jesus found me. Because he seeks for those. I came to seek and to save. And that's what he did. So we're not a pilgrim before salvation. So what is a pilgrim? Now, Abraham said, I'm a soldier, I'm a pilgrim. Well, we know the one thing it is they leave home. You can't be a pilgrim without leaving home. Well, Abraham has done that. He has left home. He has left behind everything. And we are called too, you know, when we become a Christian, we are called away from a lot of things in order to follow the Lord, aren't we? There are things we have to turn our backs on. There are things that we have to leave behind. Secondly, a pilgrim has a focus. Remember, he was looking. Abraham was looking for something. He was looking for that city whose builder and maker was God. See, just to leave home doesn't make you a pilgrim. Because if you just leave home, you become a drifter or a wanderer or a vagrant, but you're not a pilgrim. You just wander around. That's all. I always think about this. Well, I'm not going to say anything. I might later. But to be a pilgrim, you're focusing on going somewhere. Now, use the illustration of those that make their pilgrimage to Mecca. Okay, I don't agree with it, but that's a pilgrimage because they have something in sight. They're going somewhere. You just looked the other night. The pilgrims came to America. They're pilgrims. They were pilgrims because they had a focus. They knew where they wanted to go. So it's not drifting around. It's not wandering around. It's not being a vagrant. And it's not about just leaving home. It's none of that. But it's like Abraham said, I'm looking. My eyes are focusing on something. That city whose builder and maker is God. So he left. His family left everything and began to walk with God that journey, looking for that city. So he's walking by faith here. He's walking by faith. Now the third one we see in Genesis 15. This is the third step. Genesis 15. Notice what he tells Abraham. Genesis 15:5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, or count the stars. If you can, you can't. If thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. That's a lot of seed. That's a lot of seed. Now, God promised Abraham over in chapter 12 that he's going to have numerous descendants. And here, as many as the stars of heaven. That's a lot. Now, some we can take it figurative, or we don't have to take it there. But it means you're going to have a lot of descendants. Okay? We'll leave it at that. If you want to go out and count stars tonight, come back and let me know. I'll be more specific. Okay? But you're going to have many, many descendants. Although at that time, Abraham's 75 years old when he started out. But now 11 years have passed, when we just read 15, so he's what? 86 years old. 86 years old, they don't have any children. None. No child at all. So God's promise and their hope seems to be kind of dashed. Oh, but I know what we'll do. We'll take care of it ourselves, you know. The Lord will be pleased with us to do it ourselves. And so he went into Hagar, and guess what? He has Ishmael. He just took, he and Sarah took things in their own hands, like we do a lot of times when we're tired of waiting. I mean, you think about it now. God comes to you, and he tells you, he promises you descendants, and they're going to be as many as the stars, And it's 11 years since he promised. Maybe we ought to do something. maybe we ought to get this ball rolling. Okay? So Sarah says, well, I tell you what you do. You go into Hagar. And we know the story there. That didn't go well. And still doesn't go well with what took place there. Well, at this time now, God comes back. He says, I hadn't forgot you. You didn't do it like I wanted to, but I'm still, my plan and purpose is going to go through. You're not going to thwart it by acting in the flesh and going to Hagar. You're still going to have a sin. So now, when he comes, 99-year-old Abraham, 89-year-old Sarah. And he said, you're still going to have a baby. You're going to still do it because you're going to have the child of promise. Not a child of bondage. So what takes place? A flat out miracle. 99 and 80, a miracle. And they have this child, and by the name of Isaac. Now let's turn back again to Hebrews 11. You might be already still there. I keep going back and forth. Hebrews chapter 11, and notice verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She had to have some strength, needed some help. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God. She said, I know God's faithful. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now go back to Romans 4 where we started. Romans 4. And notice what verse 18 says. Romans 4, 18. Who against hope now, believed in hope. Remember what a definition last week that somebody said, faith is believing in advance that which is only logical in reverse. Well, that's kind of what he's saying here in verse 18. Who against hope, wasn't logical, believed in hope. Why? Because of the one that gave it. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, shall thy seed be. So against all hope. Now let me ask you a question, and I know we can't make any applications and all that. How many times have you faced something that you feel like is beyond hope? How many times have you faced something in your life and it seems like it's illogical? Or it seems like all is lost. Or it seems like there's just the hope is illogical, it's no hope, it seems to disappear beyond hope. How many times have you faced that? But we got to come back to this like they did. God is the God of the impossible. And we put our faith in Him to work it out. We put our faith in Him to work it out. We know that God can bring life out of death. We know that. We know God can bring love out of hatred. We know God can bring good out of evil. We know that. We know God can bring us peace in the middle of turmoil. Well, that's for those who what? Trust Him to do that. Now, in Hebrews 11, we're going to end with this. This is the fourth step. Now, we're going to go into this one too much today. I'm going to end it next Sunday, by the way, because I'm going to look at the work of faith. What is faith? The walk of faith today. Next week, we're going to look at the work of faith. And we're looking at that somewhat now as we're looking at the steps of Abraham. But in chapter 11, again, in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Because he was the child of promise. That's the one through whose descendants would come. And then he goes on, he says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the son of Joseph, and I'm at the wrong way. No, I'm sorry. Here in verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, talking about Isaac now, even from the dead. In other words, Abraham said, well, if I kill him, like God said, you'll raise him up. I know you can do that. From whence also he received him in a figure. Now, listen. When that child was born, Abraham and Sarah loved him. They loved both them children. But Isaac was a child of promise. And don't you know, they loved him greatly. I mean, this is not only a child of promise, but it's a child that came to them when they were beyond the years. This is a miracle child. It's a miracle child. This happened. So when Abraham's called to sacrifice him, no doubt, I mean, what was God doing here? Well, it tells us in Hebrews, here's a test. What is he testing? He is testing Abraham's devotion to him. He is testing Abraham's trust in him, Abraham's faith in him. What a test. What a test. Would you do that? Would you do that? If you knew God said, I want you to sacrifice your child in order for this to happen. Now your child is going to go to heaven. Boy. Can you imagine what's going on in Abraham's mind? When they are walking along. Because right now, Abraham is in the midst of a battle in his mind. He is in the midst of a spiritual conflict. He is struggling. Any of us would be. He is struggling because he's got a struggle here between God commanding him to offer his child and God's promise to him of a child that would bring those descendants. What are you going to do? What is he? He's only got two choices. You might say, think, well, he's got several choices. He don't have it, too. He has two choices that he can look at. How's he going to respond? Well, the first thing he could say, he could respond with doubt. God is not the God he claims to be. God cannot be trusted. God breaks his promises. God wavers. God changes. He's not the God that I thought he was. Now he could have gone that direction and just doubt. The other one is belief. Trust, faith. Well, he chose faith, as we read in chapter 11 of Hebrews. He said, I have faith that if I kill him, God will raise him up. That's faith, folks. That's faith. So, it's simply trust and obey. trust and obey. Faith in our, it's a walk, it's a journey. We live by faith. Obedience begins the journey. Obedience brings the journey to an end, and obedience is everything in between. That's what it's all about. So, we're going to end there. Are we walking by faith? It's easy for us to watch others exhibit faith. And we're glad. And it certainly helps us to see others live by faith. But what about when we are faced with it? There's a cap. I was coming to church this morning. There's a cap that they had, and I was looking on the internet. But anyway, it said, walking by faith, walking by faith, tripping constantly. Okay, I can buy that. We do. We walk by faith, and there are times that we trip up. We do. But I like walking by faith, tripping less. God knows we're human. God knows that we are to walk by faith. God knows there are times that we are going to trip up. But here is what he does say. Increase our faith. Are we stronger in our faith? To where we don't trip up as much. That's what God wants. He wants us to where we don't trip up as much. You know, it's like I said, that song we sing, He's Not Finished With Me Yet, or something. I said, we can use that for an excuse to not go any further in our Christian life. And we can just kind of settle back. Well, I know Henry, he's still working on me. Well, I can use that as to say, yeah, I walk in my faith, but I trip up, and I just kind of settle in. I'm going to trip up, and that's just the way it is. No. It is a walk of progression. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Are we stronger now in faith than we were a year ago, 6 months ago? Are we stronger? Or are we at the same old place? Are we just at a kind of comfort level, and this is where it levels out? I want to be stronger the next time. That's what God does. I can't remember his name. He said, faith is like a rubber band. And he said, sometime God will stretch it, and then he'll relieve it. Next time he stretches it a little further, then he releases it. Next time he stretches it a little further, that rubber band gets tighter. But what is he doing? He's building your faith. He's getting you ready for the next time. That's the key. That is the key. Yes, we're not perfect. But let's go on toward that goal. We won't reach it on this side of glory. But let's go on toward that goal. All right, let's